So you've heard it here for the first time, a new image for God, God the worm, right? It's true. It's true. And it's really relevant to our morning scripture lesson. That's what we're going to be talking about. Our second lesson is a continuation of the first, John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. I invite you to follow along in your pew Bible or simply listen for the word of God as I read these words. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at his feet, the other at his head. They said to the woman, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. It is an astounding and wonderful mistake. Yeah, it's a mistake that the first apostolic witness to the risen Christ supposes him to be the gardener. John suggests as much, that it's a mistake, but it's an intended mistake, don't you see? Because John has every intent to put the garden image into our heads. And Mary takes us there, right back to the Garden of Eden. You see, what this John Easter scene is about is a cosmic redo of the Garden of Eden to redo what Adam had screwed up, if you don't mind my saying it that way. And that's what Jesus and the risen Christ is doing. It's a cosmic redo. It's a rejuvenation, a restoration, a resetting of the original settings for us, for all of us here today. It's the kind of thing that is the most beautiful thing that we can ever think about. It's pulling the whole story to fruition. The story of Eden and the fall and the restoration of that story right here at the garden tomb, and Jesus as the gardener. I think John has every intention to put this into our thinking, that we would be yearning to get back to the garden ourselves. To be sure, that image, back to the garden, came to me early on in life in my teens. Back during the Vietnam War turmoil, some of you who are my age will remember it. It was a day when the military was not volunteered, but folk were drafted. And I was in those early drafts. My draft number was too high, thankfully for me, that I didn't have to go. But if it was lower, I would have gone. I knew people who did go. I had a very dear friend. He was older than me in high school. He was part of my father's concert choir. And I remember when I was a senior and he had been drafted and had been sent to Vietnam, an announcement came over the loudspeaker that he had been killed. It was one of the few times that I saw a tear coming to my father's face. I had another friend, a fraternity brother, who came back from Vietnam with scars on his face. He never talked about Vietnam. Do you remember Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young? Do you remember Woodstock? And the refrain, which goes something like, "We are stardust, we are golden, and we've got to get back to the garden." There was a strong yearning then to get back to the garden, maybe a time of innocence, to do a cosmic redo. And you know, I dare say that some people are feeling that today. I am. A person, a dear member of this church, came up to me after the early service about a month ago and said to me, "Roger, speaking of the presidential campaign, do you realize how bad things have gotten?" And I thought to myself, oh my God, what is she trying to tell me? What is she trying to ask of me? And I had to admit that I was just getting over last year's overt racism and bigotry and Islamophobia to really catch up to what's going on this year. But this year, in the on the lips of an alleged Presbyterian, my God, I dare say it's in the thinking of other Presbyterians. I'm not doubting that. But you know, there is a sense in which, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like we need to do a reset. I have an iPad, and I found out that it has a reset button on it that will take it back to its original setting. I found this out because it was all clogged and it wasn't working. It had become totally useless. So I took it to the Apple store, and he tried to play with it a little bit, and finally he took a paper clip and he pushed a little thing in there, and it reset the whole thing. It took about 2 or 3 hours for the whole thing to really come back, but it was useful again. I don't know about you, but I feel like we need a cosmic reset. You know? We've become so dysfunctional. Our common life together has become so polarized. It feels like we have become dangerous to ourselves, unusable. It feels like we need to get back to the garden. I was talking to Alice this week about this sermon and what I was going to do, and I asked her if she'd ever heard the Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, and she said, "Of course, no, I don't. I hadn't." It was before she was born, 1970, right? I mean, you know, says maybe. So we Googled it, and we played it, and I swear a tear came to my eye. It took me back to 1970. It took me back to friends that went to fight a war that probably shouldn't have been fought, that died. It felt like we need a cosmic redo. And that's what John has for us today. It's to get back to the garden. It's to go there and restore that which has been lost, and that's what the risen Christ has in mind. You know, the early church had these images in their head. They really did. I'm not making this stuff up. When John mentions the gardener, and when Mary supposes him to be a gardener, really has this idea that the tomb scene is a redo of Eden. And they had a lot of other images that they played around with. You will remember that there are two trees in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And you'll remember when Adam and Eve were expulsed from the garden, God put an angel with a sword, a fiery sword, around the tree of life so they could never get back to it. Well, according to Midrash, that is ancient Christian story, that tree of life submerged its roots until they extended and extended and extended, and they came up at Golgotha, the cross of Jesus, which was for Jesus and for us a curse, but for God it became the tree of life. It was the tree of life that would heal and mend what God intended for God's creation, but was fallen and broken. There is another image that these early Christians imagined from this tree of life coming from the Garden of Eden. From the tree of life, it says that a river flowed that became a river throughout all of creation, watering and giving life to all of creation. And the early Christians imagined it as the waters of baptism. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The wonders of the water of baptism that is a sign of God's unconditional love, God's unbroken love amid the brokenness of our world. This is a cosmic redo, don't you see? That's what's going on in this scene. I'm reminded here that the great theologian Reinhold Niebuhr was once asked if the story of Adam and Eve was historically true. And he answered, "Oh no, it's much truer than that." You see, for Niebuhr, Adam is existentially where we all are, fearful, anxious, violent or potentially violent, insecure in the extreme, anxiety exuding all about us, failing to live up and to trust in God's love to hold us in being in every moment of our being. That's who Adam is, and that's who we are in every moment of our being. Reinhold Niebuhr had a book about American history entitled "The Irony of American History." And he says that Americans have lived out an irony in their lives, living out of fear and anxiety. We have imposed one person's good over another person, opposed us against them. And blatant racism has, and blatant homophobia, and blatant sexism and classism has resulted in us in it all. Because, you see, what happened is we forgot, just like Adam forgot, the goodness of creation extended for all people, not just a few. The goodness of creation extended a blessing to all of us. It's what we have forgotten, which is why I think John believes that we need a cosmic redo. Why Mary supposed him to be the gardener, because he was the gardener, you see. He was one and the same with the maker of heaven and earth, the gardener at the beginning of all creation, the one who takes cosmic compost and puts all of our trash in it, all of our garbage, all of the stuff that we have in us, and creates out of us something beautiful. You know, the great Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh talks about how garbage and roses are connected. It's a beautiful image, because a rose becomes garbage, and then it is then retread to become a rose again. And that's what God is doing to us. God is taking our insecurity and turning it into belief. God is taking our fearfulness and turning it into faith and courage. God is taking our sense of fadedness and empowering us to create the world that God intended for us all. And that's why the resurrected Christ is a cosmic redo. It's a redo for us here and now, for us this morning. And the tree of life is what became of the cross. What was a curse for the early Christians was also a blessing. What was an exposure of the sins of the world became also a revelation of the divine love for us, extended to us, unconquered, forgiving, calling us, redeeming us, reconciling us. There is one more place that the tree of life occurs. Did you know it's in the last vision of the Bible? The book of Revelation. John on the Isle of Patmos had a vision of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And from the throne of God comes a river. And on both sides of the river, it's a bit of an odd image, but catch this. On both sides of the river is the tree of life extending in gigantic form. And its leaves, says John on the Isle of Patmos, is for the healing of the nations. The tree of life for us. What was a curse for Christ became for us a blessing. It's interesting to me that there's the tree of life at the beginning of the Bible, and at the end of the Bible, in between, is Golgotha. And here we stand at the garden scene, noticing a gardener, Christ as the cosmic gardener who wants to retread all of our stuff and make us work. It's an amazing image. And we are invited to that today on Easter Sunday morning. We're invited to it to stand with all that God is for and to resist and seek to transform all of the deformities and defacements of our politics, of our world, of our personal lives, and everything in between, because we are confident that nothing in this life or the next, not rulers or principalities, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God, which we know in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are golden. God in Christ has made out of us something beautiful. And in the risen Christ, we have gotten ourselves back to the garden. Amen.